Brian, sex and love addict.
Brian.
So I'm going to try to combine two topics, one which is step three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God and we understood God, and 12, where we practice these principles in all areas of our lives and we share the message. So they overlap so much because of group conscience and the idea of being okay with outcomes and turning it over, and also when feeling called to do a specific service. So I'll just talk about the way those have both come up in service. So I started doing service in small ways in meetings, you know, just doing basic, you know, literature, secretary, some ways just to give back. Even just being the timer is a way of being of service. And you don't know what I was like before, which is going to have a huge like when you see how I was before this. I have ADHD. I'm medicated. I was very self-centered. I was very unreliable. I was definitely a flake to my friends. You could invite me places and I'd probably say I was going to go and then not show up. I didn't trust my own self to get stuff done. So my self-esteem was pretty low and I was pretty isolated. And then I started going to meetings and somebody asked me to be a secretary and I didn't know what I was doing. But I just kept showing up. And I've shared this before. It was the first time ever in my life I was on time to something every single week because I knew people were going to be waiting for me outside. And after a couple weeks of being on time, week after week, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm not stuck with who I am. Like, I'm not stuck being the person that I am. And people just started giving me stuff, and I was not the type of person you would give stuff to. If there was a responsibility, you would not give it to me. That would be the worst case scenario. Which, since I'm the LPC, you can see the contrast to who I was then to who I am now. And it very deeply impacted my professional career because the more confidence I got in SLAA and I started trusting myself that I could be a reliable person to take commitments, the more I started to trust myself at work. And I started to, you know, I wasn't obsessing about my addiction anymore. So I was able to concentrate and I was able to show up to my career and that improved immediately. I started keeping my commitments with my friends and those relationships immediately started to improve. And it all started with me being secretary of a meeting. Like, I can very clearly see that, how that transitioned, you know, who I was. And people started asking me about it. Like, they would be surprised when I showed up to places and they would actually lie to me about what time things would start because they knew I was going to be late. And then I would show up at the time that they lied to me about. And then they were like, now what do we do? She's here an hour early. And that still happens with my close friends because I would show up and they would be like, and then I'd be like, when's everyone getting here? And they were like, not for an hour. And I'm like, what? And they're like, I lied to you because I thought you were going to be late. And this still, like, still to this day is happening and I'm 8 years sober. And they kind of don't know, like, who they, not only did I not know who I was, not as that person, they didn't know who I was as this different person. And so I started getting invited to more things and I also started saying yes to more things. And it was all because the more service I had, the more I was able to see my capacity. I never even had touched any selfless capacity. Like, I never even tapped into that or even tried to be of service to anybody. And so as I started taking on more service, I was starting to take outside, like, friend commitments because I was like, oh, my capacity is bigger than I think as far as my time. Like, and I started getting used to managing my time differently and started saying yes to more things with my outside life. And so my life very quickly got a lot fuller. It was gradual. It didn't just happen where I was suddenly LPC. It's been like 8 years, but I started to expand like what I'm capable of as far as my stress level and my time and my willingness and that type of thing. Where step three comes in is the constant ways that you are being forced to let go and let God in service. I'll give you an example, which again, I've talked about before, but I had a Thursday night co-ed meeting where I was holding all of the commitments. And what's interesting about it, it was the same people there every week. It wasn't like one of those meetings where there's different people every week and you never knew who was going to show up. It was always the same people and no one would take commitments. And then every time I'd say, can you be of service? They would say, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. And I'm like, you're here every week. Like, stop saying that. So I'm secretary, literature, treasurer, chips. And I had this feeling, as newer people do, if I leave this meeting, the meeting's going to collapse and it's no longer going to exist. And I had that pressure on my shoulders. Like, I can't leave because it'll collapse. The opposite happened. I left. Everyone took commitments. The meeting survived. The meeting still survived. And it was like, one, I had to let go of that. Like, it's not, they have a higher power. The meeting has a higher power. I'm not higher power. And I have to let that go. Like, whatever the outcome is of that. And then also like getting over the ego of like, it didn't collapse without me. It actually got healthier without me. And I don't think it was from any toxic energy I was bringing. It was one of those things like, well, if she's doing it, we don't need to do it. And as long as I was there, no one was going to do it. So, now I'm like, I will easily back seeing how that worked in my life and how much it benefited that meeting by me stepping back. I feel anytime I start to feel the burden where I start to get that, as we say, like bleeding deacon, where I'm like this martyr that shows up every week and I'm so tired and I just want to come willingly. I don't want to be forced to come to this meeting. I feel very comfortable stepping back because I know if the meeting's going to survive, that's what God wants. And if it's not going to survive, maybe it's time for that meeting to close, and that's okay. And that's a lot about like giving it to a higher power, not like clenching on. So I have a meeting that I started during COVID that I love. It's like, I love this meeting. We read outside literature. It's all 12-step literature. It's very much like a book club. Like, we study outside 12-step books. But I've been the treasurer of that meeting for 3 or 4 years for various reasons. People haven't been able to share the book online like I can for whatever reason. I don't know why. No one's been willing. And because it's online and it's Zoom, it changes all the people change all the time. It doesn't have like a set of core members, and it's starting to feel like, oh, this is, I have to go to this meeting because no one else is going to do it. And so I've already told them like, this is my last book. It's not because I want to stop doing this meeting, but like, I can't, I want to show up with joy in my heart. I don't want to show up because I have to be here because it's changing my experience at the meeting. And I'm starting to feel that bleeding deacon, but I have to let go and let God. If the meeting's meant to close, it will. And if it's not, it won't. And then, you know, also group conscience, obviously in business meetings, when you take commitments, you go to business meetings, things happen all the time that I don't agree with, that I don't want to happen, even within this committee. And if I didn't trust God, I would be having a fit. I'd have nightmares. I'd be stressed out. Like, they don't know what's right for them. Like, I can't imagine like what that stress would feel like, but I don't have to do that. I can just let go. And I'm so glad I'm not God. That would be such a big job. And I feel this need to share that it's important that I do things that bring me joy, and not things that don't bring me joy. And that includes sponsoring people when I start to feel the bleeding deacon about the phone calls as well. The sponsees I have that I work with bring me joy, and I love working with them. And if it starts to drag on where I'm working with someone and I'm starting to get resentful and I feel like it's too heavy and it's, you know, I can't be of service in all these other ways if I'm bogged down by service with just one person. And so there is the right person. And this again goes to step three. There is the right person to sponsor that person. It's not me. And I have to trust that they're going to find the right person because they have a higher power. And that also goes, I mean, this goes across everything, but also being of service when people ask you for feedback. Thank you. And I got into this habit with my sponsees where I'll get fearful and controlling at some point. Something will trigger me. Maybe they don't want to follow their dating plan or they did something really impulsive. And I'll say out loud, I don't know what's best for you, before I tell them what I think I would recommend or suggest. And it's just to remind myself that I'm not God. I'm not saying it for them, even though they know what it means when I say that. That means they know I'm getting scared and controlling. Like, but I say, I don't know what's best for you. And it's simply to remind myself that I don't know what's best for people, because I am a hardcore Al-Anon. I'm an untreated hardcore Al-Anon, and I do think I know what's best for people, and I can go and just create, you know, a storm of chaos, just being self-righteous and going around and telling everyone what I think is best for them. And so that's another way I have to use step three. I have to turn that over. And if you're in a family with alcoholics or addicts or mentally ill or anything, it is really hard to turn over their future, their health, everything like that. So, I get to practice that in these rooms and take that home to my family, because I work with addicts. And so I have to constantly be flexing that muscle of letting go. And you know, I should probably be an Al-Anon, but one of the ways I can get through life without working that program, which I'm not promoting that, is because I have to practice it so hard in this group of not being controlling and letting go of people's recovery that I care about, that it kind of overflows onto everything. Thank you. And I'm grateful for the tools. So hopefully that wasn't too complicated and overlapping of 3 and 12, but they do interact quite a bit. So thank you.